Let's turn. We're back to the life of David here this morning, but it's what I wanted to do is kind of take a summary of some of the principles that we have looked at in the relationship between David and Absalom. There's some great stuff here, and we have covered and touched on a few of those things, but this morning I wanted to deal with some practical aspects of principles on parenting from the Word. And from the specific examples of the lives of David and of also of his son Absalom. Because it doesn't much matter to me what you think as far as you thinking of David as a parent, one way or the other. I don't know completely what to think of his parenting. There were some real problems here. Anytime you have polygamous marriages and families relating in that kind of way, there's going to be some very serious problems. David, no question in my mind, as a parent, made some very, very serious mistakes. And I think that we can look at those in Scripture and look at some of the things that we saw with Absalom and agree that there were some mistakes. But all parents that I've ever known of make mistakes. The question becomes, okay, here is this fella, this man, that basically the many of the child training principles on parenting that we use from Scripture came from him. Were penned or were given first to Solomon, of course it says in Proverbs chapter 3, and these things, these principles of wisdom, Solomon wrote down because his father taught, he said, my father taught me these things. So many of the scriptural principles that we get on child training and on parenting come from the book of Proverbs, and David had much to do with that. And I think that there must have been a great deal that David has learned. In the past couple of weeks in our study in 2 Samuel, we finished with 2 Samuel chapter 18 and went into chapter 19, and we saw the death of Absalom, where Absalom in his rebellion was actually taken. He was taken, his life was taken. And so there's some tremendous things there for us to look at, but I want to consider principles on parenting. And if you want, you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. But this morning we're going to kind of jump around. So you can write down some verses if you'd like and some things that, some principles that we'll look at and consider in regard to principles on parenting. Now, if you're saying, well, I'm done with parenting or I'm not interested in parenting, then think of this in terms of principles of discipline. Because what I've found is that the same principles that David is speaking of and applying seem to be applied to David's relationship with the Father. With God disciplining David in these circumstances, of course, as you know from the context of the things that we've been studying in the last number of weeks, that David was being disciplined by God because of his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and because of murdering Uriah the Hittite. And God was dealing with David on those terms. And so there's some principles of discipline there that carry over for your personal Christian life and in your relationship with God. But it also is principles that are tremendous for parents. It just gives us the heart of God and the principles toward training for righteousness, which is necessary for us as believers. So you can turn, if you would, there to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, it's interesting because I was reading recently, and I've read it before, but it fascinates me that many of you have heard of Benjamin Spock. If you're 40 years or older, then you know that this was a very influential psychologist. And he, some number of years ago, began to teach an entire generation of parents that they need to take it easy and not discipline their children or allow them to, but allow them to express themselves. And he basically said that discipline would warp the child's fragile ego And millions followed this teacher's example. He had quite an impact. Basically, he's a secular humanist, and he applied man's autonomous view of, okay, we're on our own here, let's make up our own rules, and God will not rule over us, so we'll do what we want to type thing. And he came up with this basic philosophy and said, don't discipline those children because you're going to mess with them and hurt their ego. And so he made this very powerful development in child psychology and in the practical aspects of training children for several generations at this point. But at the end of Dr. Spock's life, he basically came to the conclusion that he was in fact wrong. Now, those of you that know the Scripture and that put the authority of the Scripture in the proper place already knew that. You didn't need for him to get to the end of his life to finally discover that type of thing. But he basically said this. He said, we have reared a generation of brats. Parents aren't firm enough with their children for fear of losing their love or incurring their resentment. This is a cruel deprivation that we professionals have imposed on mothers and fathers. Of course, we did it with the best of intentions. We didn't realize until it was too late how our know-it-all attitude was undermining the self-assurance of parents. Oops. Oops. That's a big oops. And the cost of it is tremendous when you think in terms of what it has meant to generations of children that were raised up under a philosophy that was not biblical. And the cost is painful. I think as we look and as we consider the life of David and Absalom, that we see just how painful and how powerful the principles from Scripture on child training and how necessary they are for God's people. So let's think for just a few minutes on the principles or some of the principles from the Bible on discipline. And as we look at the basic idea of the contrast between the life of David and the life of Absalom, and when we see the discipline that God applied to David in order to bring him to a brokenness. And God, think about this for just a moment because this is an important concept for you and for me. But God went to extreme measures to break some real bad stuff out of David's life. I mean, he went to huge lengths to inflict the amount of pain and the amount of discipline that was necessary to correct David's life. The good thing about David, and this is the thing that I believe makes David a man after God's own heart. The good thing about David is that he responded in humility. He submitted to the Father's hand. He submitted to the disciplines. He took the hardship. And as a result, he came out on the other side. And I think this principle is essential for us as God's children. As adopted children of God, we need to understand that there are times when God will apply pressures to us. God will discipline us. Sometimes He will chastise us. And He will do that for our benefit and for the greater eternal glory and personal good for your life. Absalom, on the other hand, as we look in contrast, Absalom was a rebel to the end. Absalom received many different forms and areas of rebuke and reproof and of discipline, and he rejected those. And rejecting that correction ultimately, as we saw last week, cost Absalom his life. A huge principle, essential force, because we're coming and we're in a culture where we have rejected biblical principles of discipline. we have a lack of understanding about the trials that God will bring our way, about the discipline that God is going to bring in our life, and about His purposes in the principles of discipline for creating and building the character in us that He desires. And God's purpose for you is that you are conformed to the image of His Son, to Jesus Christ. He wants you to look like Him. He wants you to act like Him. He wants you to smell like Him. And so the principles of God's Word and the discipline that God applies for those purposes for us. So let's look. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to you for the outline. We don't have an outline in the bulletin. Some of you probably, where's that outline? Well, it's not in there this morning. My computer crashed this weekend on me, and it's put me behind, and I didn't get notes to you. It'll be on the web, hopefully, later this week. If I can get those over to Paul, he'll have them up for you. But here's the basic outline, and it's simple, and it comes from Ephesians chapter 6. And these, if we understand these concepts, I believe that we will be greatly benefited in our understanding of our personal relationship as a father to his children, in a relationship with God, and also in a parenting relationship, in parents to children and children to parents as well. The goal of child training and the goal of discipline is honor. If you look at that commandment, the commandment number 5 of Moses was honor your parents. And honor has to do with the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of righteousness, the pursuit of godliness. It has to do with the realities that we as God's people were created in God's image. And when parents train their children in the proper way, then it brings honor to them. Because as you look at their lives, and as that example and testimony of truth lived out in human flesh, it's a powerful thing, and it brings honor. And there's a glory to it that is needful and necessary in this fallen world. And so parenting is a tremendous and huge responsibility. But the goal is honor. Not just honor to you, but as a representative, as a parent, as a representative to God, honor to God, because training in righteousness is beneficial. It's beneficial for everyone. It's beneficial in many ways. It's healthy and necessary. And God knew that it would be necessary. That's why He made divine institutions like the family, so that children would be raised up in His nurture and admonition. And He made divine institutions like churches for the equipping of families, so that that the word of truth would be passed on from generation to generation. And those things that are needful for God's people would be there in a means through which God might provide those things. So there's great principles here. Second point is that the means for that achieving that honor, achieving that goal of, and think of it in terms of achieving the goal of righteousness or honor that is involved in giving a testimony to God. The means for that is both teaching and discipline. Okay? Now, I like discipline here because discipline is the area that was attacked most. And here's my thinking, is that the evil one doesn't much care if we teach a whole lot. But he cares if that teaching filters over into changed lives. You understand? I mean, it's okay if we throw around a lot of neat biblical truth. But the application of that in training is what is necessary and needful, and that's what he hates. He hates it in this church. And our spiritual battle and conflict is going to center around clear, truthful teaching, number one. What we believe matters. What you hold in your heart as truth matters and will determine how you act more than what you know. So teaching is essential. But also discipline. And discipline or training is taking those principles and the practical application of that truth, of that reality of the life. And both of these are clear concepts taught in child training. So let's look at some of these areas. Number one, honor is the goal. Okay? And this, just write down or jot down in your notes there, Exodus 20:12. It's the fifth commandment, and the scripture says to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, I want to make this point for you right quick. Because Absalom had legitimate problems with his father David. They were legit. There were things that David did wrong. There were things that Absalom could look at and say, he did this, therefore I can rebel. Okay? The scripture says you cannot do that. Even if those that God has put in authority over you make mistakes or do the wrong things or just flat out rebelliously sin against God, Absalom was not justified in his rebellion against his father. Okay, that's huge for children. You think about it. God held Absalom accountable for the things that he did. He held Absalom accountable and he held him he was responsible for obedience and for honoring his father and his mother, even though David did some pretty funky things. Right? So, get over it. Honor your parents. It is the requirement in Scripture, and it says that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Learn not to rebel and not to have a poor attitude against the authority that God has placed over you. Learn submission. David learned that. And it was a huge thing in David's life, and it's one, I think, of the essential elements that made David a usable instrument in God's hand. He was usable because he submitted to authority. He understood that principle. Okay, so honor is the goal. Submission is greatly involved in that. And I have another verse for you. In Proverbs it says, "My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you and ornament of grace to your neck." You see, it's that ornament of grace, life, an ornament of grace. That's honor. That's what it's talking about. So this sound judgment and discernment that comes from the principles of God's Word, believing the right thing, having truth, and acting according to that truth brings honor to your life. Okay? On the one hand, you can dishonor those authorities that God has placed over you, and it says it shortens your life, which certainly happened with Absalom. Or you can take and preserve sound judgment and discernment in humility, take correction, and out of that it will be an ornament of grace for your life. That's the principle. That's the principle that Benjamin's, Spock, did not understand. He didn't get it. He didn't understand the biblical principle, and as a result, much ruin was created. So honor comes through submission and obedience and righteousness. Let me make the point with the Ephesians passage. You thought I'd forgotten about it, didn't you? But I didn't. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 teaches, and this is the Apostle Paul's teaching to believers there, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then he quotes from from Exodus 20, and that's also Deuteronomy chapter 5. But it says, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." That it may, see, it says with a promise. Because the result of honoring your mother and your father, of learning to submit to authority, if I could put it in those terms, is that there's a promise that goes with it. And that promise was that it may be well with you. Okay? That you may live long on the earth. Now, the point here is that when there's conflict and when there's rebellion, there's a lot of that conflict takes its toll, doesn't it? Took its toll on Absalom. Everything looked like for some period of time that Absalom was really doing great. He was really coming along and doing well, and he was getting, it seemed and appeared to be, that Absalom was getting his way. But suddenly, in a battle, in a moment's time, Absalom was gone. And he was gone because of rebellion. And the scripture says that God had determined, God had ordained, that he would thwart Absalom's purposes through the counsel of these counselors and bring him to destruction. The reason he was brought to destruction was because of rebellion, because he had forgotten this first commandment with a promise. Okay? Look at verse 4 there. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, there's two concepts here that are directly related to honor, and I took these in our outline. The first is instruction, and I took the second concept. I think he used discipline first because it directly related to this area of conflict with fathers. And we're clearly told in Scripture not to provoke children to anger or to wrath. And that has to do more with discipline than what you say. It's how you use your authority and power as a parent that can cause tremendous problems in your family and with your children. So it uses discipline first, but these two terms, discipline and instruction, simply mean, instruction means teaching, and discipline means control, or it has to do with the area of correction, hands-on correction. So that's the concept that we're looking at in Scripture. It's the basic idea that of child training. And not only that, it's the basic idea of discipline and teaching that we learn from that God gives to us as His children. These principles carry over to our personal lives. Okay? So let's move on here, and we'll consider this child training. As Scripture says in Proverbs, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, whereas the Exodus passage is a promise, it is a commandment with promise, this is not a promise. And it's important because a lot of people don't understand the concepts in Proverbs as wisdom principles are general principles that, when applied, are true. They generally work out. But sometimes, when a child is rebellious, even though you've trained them in the right way, they may not, and sometimes they may not turn. And I would assume that David at least did some, to some extent, did training with Absalom and with his children. And so, not always does it mean that they will not turn from it, because Absalom certainly turned from any training that his father gave to him at that earlier point in the time of his life. Number one, there's a cultural tragedy that takes place when the things that Benjamin Spock looked at and saw happening to families, it becomes reality. And you know what I'm talking about? It's in the restaurant. You're in the restaurant. And the cultural tragedy is that that two-year-old toddler controls his family. Controls them. He knows that he has them on the spot. That I'm in a public place, and if I scream loud enough, and if I try hard enough to get my will, that they'll back down. And I'll be the one in charge here. And that's when we talk about the old sin nature, the total depravity, it's that tendency that even as children we have toward wanting to control, wanting what we want. And we see it from the very, very early age. David said, in sin my mother conceived me. And he wasn't talking about immorality on her part. He was talking about the basic nature within him. In Psalm 51. So the cultural tragedy is that we have child control families because they have deserted and turned from the principle of discipline that is necessary to correct children and to control them in an appropriate and godly and proper way. Okay, so culturally, we have bought something that was a false teaching. If you believe something that is false and you apply that belief, then the practical outworking of that is what we have seen. And this is a thing that is, and I want to say to you, to any parents or to anyone that has opportunity to help others, that this does not have to be. But the way out is the application of biblical principles and of discipline and the things that we're looking at in these passages. Number two, parents have a God-given responsibility, accountability, and authority as a parent to exercise that authority and control. In fact, it is important for you to understand that you will stand accountable before the throne of Jesus Christ for your responsibilities, for your role as a parent. And that's for all of us, for those young ones that are growing up and in a few years will be starting their families. And wherever we're at, we need to understand that God will hold us accountable with children is a great, and with the wonderful blessing of family and with children is a great responsibility before God. And with that responsibility is accountability. It means that we will answer to God as parents and in the use of that authority and that power that God has given to the parent to exercise. But God has given authority. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to explain it to the judge. It's a God-given thing. It is what it is. And God holds you responsible. And the balance of child training and applying discipline is it should bring us to the place of brokenness, of knowing that unless God helps me, unless God does these things through me, there's no way that I'm going to come out and be able to stand and hold my face up before the judgment seat of Christ. But the realities are that God will help you. As any other calling in life, if you've been called to be a parent, He'll give you the grace and the strength, and He will work in supernatural ways to supply all that is necessary for that to which He has called you to, just like anything else.